more.
This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
And you've joined us today. You have tuned in on a great, great series. We're talking about the fact that it is not too late. It is never too late to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. The Word of God is full of the promise of God. And God's Word tells us that all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yes, and in Christ Jesus, amen. So I'm believing that God's going to stir up your faith today, and we're going to believe that God is who He says He is, that God can and will do what He says He will do. And we're looking at the story of Abraham and Sarah, and over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the development of what is it that builds that muscle of faith on the inside of us, and that God has always used unexpected people in unexpected places to do unexpected things at unexpected times. And let me just say, it is an interesting thing that God would use an almost 100-year-old man and 90-year-old woman from whom their offspring would bless all the nations of the earth. That would be just like God, because it's somewhat unusual. And the thing that I've discovered is God really doesn't do things our way. I just want to look at Genesis 18. Now, of course, we've been looking at the whole chapter, but I just want to read you some verses just to pick up our context. The Bible says in verse 9, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Go eavesdropping chicks. I love it. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out and the Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." What a story. What a story of faith. And the fact is, it probably is the mirror of all of our stories. When you look back and you see the things that God has done, you go, wow, that couldn't have happened in the natural. A lot of the things that we do can happen in the natural. But the things that only God can do through our life, they actually cannot happen, naturally speaking. And so we've learned in this series so far that impossible is where God starts. I don't even think God shows up until it's impossible, because that's where He gets all of the glory. We've learned that unbelief is the enemy of God, and that we need to go from being unbelieving believers to believing believers. Let's live up to our name. If we are believers, how about we believe? That's a concept right there. That oftentimes we confuse our due date with God's due season. There is an appointed time, there is a due season, and very often our due date is not like God's due season. So we cannot quit during the process. We must let God do His work in us so that He can do His work through us. Now, the fourth thing that often keeps us from holding on and believing God for the promise to the end is that we often do not understand God's ways. Now, I love in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, the Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." I mean, we could just take the next 20 weeks on that. Because how often do we pray and we try to tell God how to do His job? We're like, you know, if I was God, and you're very glad I'm not, I would do. How often would you have thought, I would not have done it that way. I would do it this way. And God's like, well, there's a reason why I'm in the chair and you're not. There is a very big reason. But you'll never know whether you really trust God until God begins to do things in a way you would never do them. And God says to us in His Word, "My ways are not your ways." That's why we have to renew our mind, and we have to be grafted in this Word, planted in it. We have to be reading it every day like life, so that our mind can be transformed and renewed, because our natural mind, our carnal flesh, is totally contrary to this Word. So we have to let this Word wash over us, renew our mind and transform us, so that we can begin to think how God thinks, and we can begin to act in ways that God acts. And so the fact is, Can we judge when God is doing something here? I don't understand it because I'm at this level and God is at this level. Will I trust God in that gap? Because that's really what it comes down to. When God does things in ways that I don't understand because I am finite and I am human and God is infinite and He is God. So there is a gap. There is always this part that I'm just not going to get it because He's infinite. I'm finite. He's supernatural. I'm natural. So can I trust, or I call this the God gap. When we get to a place in our work and I want to see the ministry go forward and some things I just don't understand how it's going to happen, I'm like, God, I have to just take a step of faith in trust because Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. So I wonder today, would you just let God be God? Someone, you've been trying to reason with God. You've been trying to fit God into your box. Things around you are not happening in a way that you thought. So you think that denotes the absence of God, but that doesn't denote the absence of God. It's just that God is doing it in a way that you never expected. God is your very present help in your time of need. God is totally in your business. God is totally in your circumstance. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. You just can't see Him right now because He's doing things in a way that you're not accustomed to. He's doing things in a way that you never thought that He would. So if you would drop your expectation and you would trust that God would do it in an unexpected way, using unexpected people in an unexpected place, you're going to see a supernatural, unexpected result in your life in Jesus' name. That's what you are going to see. And so it goes on. When I look at that, who would have thought this unnamed, unwanted, abused, adopted kid from Australia would be rescuing slaves all over the world, teaching people on television every day, bringing life and liberty and freedom to their soul? God was able to work all those in the natural. That does not make sense. That does not make sense. But God wove all the broken fragments of my past together, worked them together for good. And now my past is able to give multitudes a future and a destiny. And I think it's so important that we remember that. Sometimes we think something has disqualified us, our own failure, our own mistake, something that happened to us, something that was said to us. But the more we learn to make what Jesus did for us bigger than what they did to us, bigger than what they said to us, then we are going to be able to continue to move forward into the freedom and the plan and the purpose of God. And we're going to see that God is going to make a way where there is no way. We're going to see that the very things that the enemy meant for evil, God has worked them together for good. We're going to see unexpected results in our life. Because that's how God works. He says, I will take a body that is unable to bear a biological child and I'm going to work supernaturally. And that is going to happen. But you know what happens is a lot of us, we get frustrated. So we take things into our own hand. We think it's not moving quick enough. I'm not getting that promotion quick enough. I'm not getting that opportunity quick enough. I'm not getting that guy quick enough, or I'm not getting that girl quick enough. So I'm going to help God. I need you all to know it's really dangerous when we try to help God. I'm going to show you what Sarah did when she tried to help God. We do really dumb stuff. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. Now Sarai, this is before she became Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. This is the dumb stuff you say when you try to do things in your own stuff. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. I'm like, what woman in her right mind? But that's what happens when you try to do things your way, not God's way. You're not in your right mind. And here's the deal. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. Yes, of course he did. Okay. We could teach on that for the next 5 weeks. But what happens is when you no longer expect God to come through for you, you begin to try to come through for yourself. You think how many things in your life you have jumped in to try to help God, how many relationships you've tried to force to try to help God, and then you end up with an Ishmael, because there's always consequences. When we try to do things in our own strength, when we try to short circuit the plan of God, and what that comes from is unbelief. What that comes from is a lack of faith. So we're like, God, I'm going to try to do it. And some of the dumbest things we've done in our life is because we have tried to help God do what only God can do. There are some things you just need to take your hands off. And I'm speaking to someone right now. And you just need to take your hands off the situation and allow God to be God and trust that He who promised is faithful. And there's something on the inside of you and you're thinking, if I don't circumvent this, if I don't vindicate myself, if I don't show that I'm able, then they're not going to know. But what you have to do is take your hands off and let God vindicate you. Let God make a way where there is no way. Let God have your back. Because the more you try to get involved in it, the more you're going to end up with this kind of Ishmael situation. And you know what? In our world today, there is consequences of that act. There's always a consequence of you and I trying to short circuit what God wants us to do. But let me give you good news today. Some of you, as you're watching this, you're thinking, Christine, I have birthed some Ishmaels. I have got some Ishmaels in my life. God never ordained them. God never, this was not God's plan. This was not the way that God was going to do it. What am I going to do? I want you to know, praise the Lord, we are new covenant Christians. We have a better promise and a better covenant. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And He is the God of the second chance and the God of the third chance. It is never too late. You cannot think that it is over because you have birthed an Ishmael. God loves Ishmael too. And God can make a way where there is no way, and God can redeem all of our past mistakes. Do not think your failures or your mistakes have disqualified you. Your God is bigger than your failures. Your God is bigger than your mistakes. Don't live with guilt or fear or condemnation. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You are valued. You are forgiven. God loves you. And there is life and there is redemption and there is hope beyond your past. But the fact is, maybe you're on the verge of doing, metaphorically speaking, something like Sarah did. I want to encourage you, don't do that. Any time in my life I've tried to help God, it has not worked. I think so often, and people often ask me when it comes to ministry, Christine, you know, do you have any regrets? And I think some of the things I would do different is that I often cared about someone's destiny more than they did. And so I would try to help them and I would fill in the gap and I wouldn't let them fall or make mistakes because I'm like, I know you can do this, or I would try to keep pushing them to go. And the fact is, I was artificially propping somebody up that wasn't willing to run themselves. Yes. I cared about their destiny, it seemed, almost more than they did. And so I've had to learn how to let go and go, you know what, I'm giving you over to God. You're going to have to sort this out with God. I see it. I, you know, employ over 100 and something millennials all around the world. And I know you can all pray for me. Okay, so you know what? It's my greatest delight. I love this generation. I love the next generation. I love what God is doing in them, but I can't rescue them from God working in them. I can help to open doors. I can create opportunities. I can create jobs and help them to, but I can't turn up to work for them. That is the word of the Lord for someone. Get a job. Number two, turn up to work. Okay, so at the end of the day, everyone has got to go through their own process with God. And it's in that process that God is sanctifying us through and through and outworking His purpose. A lot of people come and they think, if I could just work for Chris Cain, I could be doing what Chris Cain's doing tomorrow. I think, honey, there is no overnight successes. You too can do what I'm doing. It takes about 30 years. So if you are just willing to stick around for 30 years and to be able to overcome the obstacles and the hurdles and the challenges and the refining fire and the betrayals and the disappointments and the faith, that's part of destiny. There is no instant download to destiny. You've got to walk through the process. You've got to allow God to do it, and you will be tempted to do it yourself or to help God all along the way. You would have thought Sarah would have had more common sense than this, but Ishmael was born because Sarah couldn't wait. I wonder how many Ishmaels are born because we couldn't wait. How many false starts, how many false opportunities, how many people have left the place that God has placed them to chase a position that they wanted, have sacrificed their destiny on the altar of a position they wanted, because they wouldn't embrace the place where God had set them. When you embrace the place that God sets you, God is able to work His will on the inside of you and to shape you and conform you into His image so then He can propel you into your destiny. A lot of why I am where I am is I simply never left. I've been in one church for my whole Christianity, 30 years. I've been planted in one house. I've stayed married to the same man. And that is a reflection on his almost sainthood, actually, more than mine, if you're wondering. But the fact is that we have so many of us that are just not willing to stick things out, that are not willing to say in the good, in the bad, in the ugly, in the difficult. That's where your character is forged. It's in the fire. But a lot of us, we want to be promoted according to our gift and we don't let our character be formed. But if the gift that is on you is greater than the character that is within you, then it will destroy you. If the spotlight that is on you is greater than the character that is in you or the light of Christ that is within you, then that spotlight will destroy you. And we have a generation in our Insta selfie generation that wants to all be in the spotlight. But I'm thinking that spotlight will kill you. God cares more about forging His light on the inside of you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. But He's got to work through some of the darkness on the inside of us so that His light can shine greater. But that only happens in adversity. That happens in the waiting room. That happens in the trials. There's a reason why hospitals have waiting rooms, because there's some stuff you just have to wait for. There's some healing that you've got to wait for. And a lot of us, we want to bypass all of that process and we go, I've got a great invention. Just because it can happen doesn't mean it should happen. You see, Hagar could conceive. So just because she couldn't doesn't mean that Sarah should have orchestrated for that to happen. There are so many things we do just because we can, but we shouldn't. And so a lot of us, we think, I can do it. I'm gifted to do that. I'm talented to do that. You cannot do 100,000 things to the glory of God. There are so many things that I can do. But one of the biggest words in our office, in my, you know, kind of executive team that does all of my schedule and that does all of my planning, the word no is stapled everywhere because I have to say no a whole lot more than I say yes so that I can say yes to the right thing. Because for every yes that I say, I'm saying no to something. And if I'm saying yes to the wrong thing, then I'm saying no where I shouldn't be saying no. And if I'm saying yes to the right thing, then I'm saying no to where I should be saying no. So in this case, Sarah should have trusted God, but instead she trusted her own plan and her own scheme and her own methodology. And because of that, Ishmael was born. And because of that, in the 21st century, there are still repercussions of that act. There are some things that we do that if we are not wise, there are repercussions for the generations that are to come after us. And so I would suggest that we wait until we get the yes from God and we wait on the timing of God and we don't despise the timing, but we allow God to have His way in us. The fact is you will inherit the promise of God if you do not quit. In Genesis chapter 12, I love this. This is where the promise was given. Verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, he was Abram at that time, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I love that. He doesn't tell you where on the map. You go, I'll show you when you get there. I love it. In the book of Hebrews, it says, and Abraham went forth, not knowing where he went. That is the story of my life. Everyone's like, what's your five-year plan? I'm like, honey, I don't know my next day plan. I'm like, I'm leading this. I keep like, you know, going to my team. We're going to charge the hill. Not sure which one or where, but I'm one step ahead of you. And that's where we're going to go. That's the walk of faith. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's the promise. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. The promise was there. from Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 18, 24 years, Abraham went to Abraham. God did a process from exalted father Abraham to father of nations, Abraham. There's a process that happened in those six chapters. If he quit before that, he would never, ever have seen this come to pass. But God said it. And if God said it, God will do it. The Bible says it happened in his old age. I'm here to tell you, age is irrelevant to God. Age might be relevant to you. Age is a god in our culture. Everything is about an anti-aging cream, anti-aging treatment. We have the cult of idolatry to youth. And yet Caleb said at 85, I'm as young now as I was then. Now give me this mountain that's my inheritance. You know, I feel like I'm just getting stronger with the Lord the older I get. I'm 51 and a half years old and I confess over my life, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. I say to my children, I'm going to be super granny for Jesus. I'm going to keep going and you're going to have to run to keep up with me. I am only 51 and a half years young. My greatest days are ahead of me and not behind me. God still has more ahead of me. It's not time to go yet. But you just have to not quit. Age is irrelevant to God, as is evident. I mean, I don't know too many 90-year-old chicks popping out a kid. The promise is God's. Age is irrelevant. And I love this because in Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. I love that, as he had said. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. If you don't quit, as he said and as he promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. I love that. At the time of which God had spoken to him, Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. I told you, age is irrelevant to God. And then it goes on, and the Bible says, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. I'll tell you who would have said. God said it. God said it. Nobody else might have said it, but God said it. And he did as he has promised. He did exactly what he had said. Do you know what Isaac means? The name means laughter. So what happened is Sarah said, God has made me laugh. She hadn't expected that. We started this whole series in Genesis 18 when Sarah was inclining at the door of the tent and laughing with the laughter of doubt, laughing with the laughter of disappointment, laughing with the laughter of disillusionment, laughing with the laughter of discouragement, laughing with the laughter of cynicism, laughing with the laughter of unbelief. And we end the story with her giving birth to Isaac, the son of laughter, and her then laughing, the laugh of faith, the laugh of hope, the laugh of joy, the laugh of peace. And my prayer is that through this series, all of us have changed our posture from one of doubt to one of faith. You know what? When she received the promise, she laughed with distrust and she laughed with doubt. But the fact is that God said, there are no expiry dates on my promises. If I said it, I will do it. If I promised it, you can have it. There's not a promise that's too hard for God to fulfill. There's not a prayer too big for God to answer. There's not a problem too big for God to solve. There's not one disease that God cannot heal. There's not one heart that God cannot mend. There is no relationship that God cannot restore. There is no person that God cannot save. There is no chaos to which God cannot bring order. There is no anxiety to which God cannot bring peace. There is no disaster to which God cannot bring joy. There is no loss to which God cannot bring hope. There is no mountain that God cannot move. There is nothing my God cannot do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, we'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineCain.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.